Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Burglaries in your neighborhood and it's 2 o'clock at night. We can have a drone operator launch at a mile away or less, put it over your neighborhood, use the FLIR systems on it, and we can see things going on in your neighborhood. So if a burglary is occurring, they could bring deputies in without someone knowing we're even there. So there's things that we can do with those drones now with technology.
Got a chance to look at the real-time crime center for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that with the sheriff when he's here in 30 minutes. This is Andrew Hobbs, chief deputy at the Sheriff's Office, talking about the real-time crime center, which, like I said, I got a chance to see last week. And it's basically what you think of in a movie when you see the, you know, like Enemy of the State or, you know, TV 24 or some military operation where you would just see a whole bank of big screens and then a bunch of people at their desks sifting through information, using AI to select within parameters to find a lost child or a gunman in a crowd, because they can do that, like at Pensacola Beach, or they're on the verge of being able to do that at Pensacola Beach, scanning through license plate readers that are catching everybody's license plate as they're driving through an area and, you know, flagging the ones that are problematic. Or as he talked about there, if they've got a, you know, burglary at night in a neighborhood, without coming lights on and scaring the criminal away, they can go to a like relatively close distance, put the drone up in the air. They've got a drone operator on every single shift. They do have to have either probable cause or a warrant to put a drone up. They can't just surveil you at random. That's not happening. And it's like having a canine. You know, canine is a tool. A drone is a tool. Put the drone up. The drone's got infrared. The drone can see heat signatures. The drone can see that, oh, hey, look, there's somebody running at 2 a.m. in the morning. I wonder what they're doing. Okay, let's have the deputies go in that vicinity. And then let's coordinate the deputy's response, because we can see where all of their cars are at and where they are at with their walkie, their radios. We can see where they're placed on this board over here. And we can tell them, run east, run north. You know, again, you know, go down that alley, turn right, all that kind of stuff. They have this capability, not maybe quite as fully developed as you might see in a movie, because the movie's always making out fiction and, you know, everything technological is way beyond what's really capable right now. But, you know, eventually reality catches up, and reality is getting pretty close to catching up. And so they can put all of this together to solve, fight crime, thwart crime, and hopefully do it enough that people go like, man, it is too much damn work to do crime here in Escambia County.
K-9 officer, answer calls for service. That's our first job as deputy sheriffs, is protect and serve. We answer calls for service. And they have a resource with them that if they need to search for someone, they need to search a car, they need to do that, that's when your K-9 engages. That's when your drone operation. And the drone and the K-9 are now starting to work a lot together, because I can launch a drone and I can give that deputy that's on a track, hey, 25 yards, 100 yards up, there's a light signature to your left. There could be someone in the woods, giving them something so they're not ambushed. Or can say, all right, hold on, we can bring everybody else around it, get around there so we don't have the same problem. So it really does a lot of different things. It's the drone opens up a lot of facets of law enforcement and a lot of really cool things we can do for the community.
And cameras, having the access to live feeds from all of these cameras that the sheriff's office owns, or people have partnered with them like Escambia County with park cameras or with boat ramp cameras or with library cameras or school board with school cameras so that they can see into the school. In fact, Andy was telling a story about, you know, he was proving to somebody in the real-time crime center that they could look into the school, and he looked into the school and his kid was doing something, by his words, idiotic at that moment in the hallway. And he's like, bro, you know, and he tells him later, like, I saw you. He's like, no, yeah, dad's always watching. Dad's not always watching, but dad could always be watching. Oh, what?
We are always watching. Okay. We have eyes on you.
All right.
This one other software I was talking about, Montclair. This is one of the locations of one of the cameras. And there's a wall here. So I have an alert that is set up for anytime somebody gets close to that back wall or jumps it and notifies me. Or if we're working a call and somebody's going into that area, the patrol officers can let us know, hey, we're about to be going in here for warrant service or whatever the case may be. We can start watching this camera and see if they're jumping that back wall for them.
I think of like the walls that are around some of your projects, you know, where like there once was barbed wire over at Truman Arms or whatever. What do they call that now? I just can't think of it off the top of my head. The kids all call it the TA still, even though it hasn't been that name for a long time. But they, you know, there used to be barbed wire. Now there's not. People jump that fence, jump that wall, that concrete wall. Well, if you have a, I don't think that was the wall he was talking about, but it could have been. You know, this is a wall in a high crime area. We know where people jump over it. So it's good to have a camera to notify me when somebody's doing that, that they're getting ready to do something bad. Or if we're going to serve warrant in that area, that that's where they're going. Like the, Lieutenant Brandon Beach, by the way, they're talking about. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free. But if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, you're experiencing those construction congestion delays. Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile Road is seeing an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the discussion from Lieutenant Brandon Beach and Chief Andy Hobbs talking about the real-time crime center.
The software's obviously, instead of cutting down on manpower where we have to watch minute for minute, just about every software comes with some form of like search capability. So obviously we can search for people, bicycles, certain type vehicles, and that'll help cut down on the manpower of sitting there watching the video minute for minute.
So with the massive volume of video available to them, how do they search through it? Well, an individual sheriff's deputy can look, or they can just task the AI, you know, here's a 53 hours of video. Find me the ones that have blue Hondas. Find me the ones that have two teenagers. Find me the ones that have a guy carrying a shovel, you know. And then it pulls up the relevant 7 minutes. He watches that. That just saved him 50 man hours of work, right?
Obviously, if that doesn't come up with what we need and it's a homicide, yeah, we're going to have somebody sit there and watch it minute for minute until we know whether the information that we're looking for is there or not.
Andy Hobbs is talking about out on the beach where they're upgrading the system significantly at Pensacola Beach, that they can literally look at the cameras and tell the AI, hey, I want you to isolate a particular thing and search for it because we got a missing kid.
But we can utilize AI using facial recognition. We're in the process of working with the county commissioners to finish the build out of Pensacola Beach. So what you'll have is at Casino Beach parking lot by the next Blue Angel Air Show. Let's just say we get calls all the time because you figure you have 100,000 people on a beach. We'll get a call and say a white male, 9 years old, wearing red shorts and blonde hair is missing. Using artificial intelligence, we can hit a couple of buttons and make everyone else disappear. And we can find every 9-year-old blonde-haired, red-short person on that beach.
And by disappear, he means from the video, you know, de-image them, basically, so you can see exactly where the three kids that fit that description are right now, and let's go make sure none of those kids are the kid that we're looking for. Possibly saving them from a kidnapping, less likely, more likely from danger from the water or just being, you know, hit by a car or something like that. In fact, he told an interesting story where he and Tommy Leiter, the other chief deputy, were together and there was an incident going on. And in real time, the crime center and the information they were able to put together, well, here.
Prime example, myself and Chief Leiter about a year ago, we're out on a call. We're driving around. We were out at lunch. We hear a call about a shots fired on 9 Mile Road. Well, Michael was working. He's right there. He's over there. He comes up and he says, hey, that suspect's had four different addresses and puts out the four addresses. Chief Leiter and I were there about two blocks from one of the addresses. We go to the house. It was the mother's house. They tell us the last time that person was there. They can tell us all this information pulling from reports from Pensacola Police Department, Escambia County, records from ESP, all those different things, finding out when that person was there. We were able to locate that person within about 8 or 9 minutes of the shooting because of the information the real-time crime center was able to push out to us very, very quickly.
Within 8 or 9 minutes of the shooting. And by the way, this is not like ShotSpotter stuff. Because even though ShotSpotter is still active, at least I don't think that particular incident involved ShotSpotter. That's going away. It's very expensive. And it's not the only tool in the box. It's not even necessarily the best tool in the box. So they have all kinds of other things that they're working with. I mean, it's amazing. And I will say, I've said this three times already. We've been talking about this every hour. But I will say, I also understand the reaction of, oh my God, Andrew, we've built the surveillance state. You know, we've built the London in America. We you know, people don't have freedom. We got license plate readers. You got, you know, the AI is finding people on the beach looking for facial recognition. You're really telling me this is okay? I'm telling you, I'm conflicted too. I am, because I have always been the person that was very reluctant to embrace the notion of massive surveillance. I understand that it's useful for fighting crime. I do, and it really is. And it's useful for finding missing kids, and the parent in me is like, man, you know, worth it. But there is a loss of freedom of motion, of privacy, of separation from what your government knows. And I think there is a case to be made that we are sort of running down the alleyway into this future where, if, God forbid, the wrong people are ever in charge of the government, well, they're going to have a lot of dangerous information at their disposal, and we have no way to defend ourselves against it. But that is a distant, kind of nebulous, sort of almost not paranoid, but, you know, little based on science fiction kind of fear versus the real fact of kidnappings and murders and kids getting hurt and people being beat up and raped. And if this solves that, it's kind of hard to sit there and say, well, yeah, but I mean, eventually, don't you want to be worried about what happens if we have a totalitarian government? I mean, it feels like the kind of thing we don't maybe need to be as worried about in America as they should be worried about in, say, China. But as last hour shows, we're talking about the Zoran Mamdani speech, we have a nation of individuals with liberty and freedom that is predicated on the government having limited resources. And we also have a population that is demanding, at least a slice of it, a large slice of it, is demanding more and more action from government to solve all of these problems. And what do we get at the end of those solutions? Do we get a land of liberty and individuality and self-reliance and, you know, rugged, productive people who manage to make the world into something amazing? Or do we get a different outcome, the kind of thing that we have written stories about in the past? And I don't know the answer to that. It concerns me. Here's what I do know. We pay law enforcement to prevent crime and to catch criminals. And to tell them, we want you to prevent crime and catch criminals and thwart crime, but we do not want you to use all the resources that are available to you, which, by the way, statistically across America, have been working very effectively over the last several years. Technology up, crime down, period. How do you say to them, we really, really want you to keep us safe, but we don't want you to use the stuff that actually does the best job of keeping us safe and makes it so that even though we've only got 450 deputies, it's like the effect of having 1,000. Because we can't afford 1,000, but we can't afford 450 plus some drones and cameras and a real-time crime center. But your thoughts, feel free to weigh in. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Someone recently asked me, do you believe in guardian angels? And my answer is yes, but only for the Christian. In a rhetorical question, Hebrews 1:14 explains that angels are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So Christian person, since you're saved, an angel has been sent forth to minister to you. And remember, Psalm 103 explains that angels excel in strength. Angels are colossal beings. They are greater in power and might than the strongest of men. However, as strong as angels are, Jesus is stronger. As wonderful as it is to think about the many ways that angels serve us, Jesus served us in a far greater way by giving his life a ransom for us. Angels are created beings, and they're wonderful, but Jesus is the eternal creator God. So rejoice in Jesus today.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
Good morning, 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I keep forgetting to mention, I did make a video of at least some of that presentation, and so you can see for yourself what the Real-Time Crime Center looks like. I've got it on my Facebook page. I'm in the process of sharing it over to our News Radio page, so that'll be up here shortly. In the meanwhile, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No accidents to report to you, but we're still seeing some minor delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Also, Highway 90 southbound, 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile Road. Seeing about a 9-minute delay in that area. And let's see here. If you're on 98 eastbound right around the Windhaven Beach area, expect 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. We're getting a bunch of texts in here on our discussion, both about Zoran Mamdani in New York City. I talked about his speech at 6:30, and that's going to be up on the, it is on the podcast page, but then I will finish talking about that next hour at 8:10. But also talking about surveillance, somebody says, my dad always said, if you're not doing something you shouldn't do, you have nothing to worry about. Yeah, you do, actually. That's what the dictator says. And not that your dad's a dictator, but that's what the dictator wants you to think is, if you're not doing any crimes, you got nothing to hide. No, we all have an interest in the collective maintenance of a zone of freedom from government intrusion, of whether you're doing something bad or not. Because eventually the government may decide to make something good bad, right? They may decide to make something that is right to do illegal. Like, I don't know, you know, preach Christianity. It has happened before. So, you know, preserving the ability of the individual to be safe from government intrusion, even if you're not doing something that needs to be protected from government intrusion, is part of the game of protecting liberty. And so, yeah, keep that in mind. Somebody says it's so frustrating. The communists have been, this is about Zoran Mamdani, playing the long game since the 60s. People are just realizing it now. Witness higher education, largely, and media, largely. That's how government persecuted peaceful protesters on January 6th. I would also say in Iran. I mean, you're seeing some of this. Minority Report, somebody says, the movie is interesting and how they prevent crime. That's sort of the eventual maybe next. And listen, none of these sheriff's office folks, we don't have to worry about them. It's never the folks in front. And I'm not worried. I'm saying I'm representing both sides here. But as long as we keep electing good people who understand the limits of technology and care about things like your personal freedom and your constitutional rights, then we're good. But if we empower through technology the easy violation of them and then elect people who are willing to violate them, like Zoran Mamdani or, you know, Bernie Sanders or whatever, pick your person, well, then we're in trouble. And so historically, the argument against that is there's two prongs to that problem, so either both prongs should be prevented. Okay, I mean, I get it. Somebody says, I see this heading the way of more government control. Looks like we're heading towards New York City future. Is anything please come up with that we've found can always be outdone by someone too smart on the other side? Yeah, there's certainly a war of technology or, you know, competing sides on this. I agree. 728 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well,
the real-time news center.
That's right, the real-time news center with my big news board in front of me. Both Minnesota and Illinois are suing the Trump administration over ongoing immigration enforcement tactics. The separate lawsuits were filed Monday, both come after the administration surged enforcement activity in both cities, Chicago and Minneapolis, after the fatal ICE shooting last week. The Clintons could be held in contempt of Congress if they don't show up for a House committee hearing in the Epstein investigation today. Former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton were originally scheduled in December. They had that pushed back to today, but they have not confirmed whether they will be at that hearing. And the U.S. Marshals Service has now joined the search for Hollywood actor and director Timothy Busfield. He's facing child sex and abuse charges lodged by twin brothers who allege it occurred while working on a television series called The Cleaning Lady back in 2022.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a horror story, the allegations. And he's married to Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie. Tim Busfield was the probably a lot of folks who are older would know him as the reporter Danny from The West Wing. The guy with the red beard and red hair, kind of that's who we're talking about here. So, all right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. If you've got a kid who used to love math and doesn't love it much anymore, or maybe never really loved math, anybody who's struggling with math, or they did well until they got to algebra or to geometry or to trig or whatever. And or they bring home homework and you're like, I don't know how to do this or don't know how to do it anymore. Don't know how to do it the way they're doing it. That's why you go to Mathnasium. Every kid can learn to be good at math. Every kid can learn the tools, can acquire the skills, can get the pieces in the toolbox to be good at math. And one of the things they do is the very first thing, it's a completely free assessment, is you kind of take a test to figure out what things are they missing? What do they do well at? What do they not do well at? What would be our custom plan in order to figure out how to get them where they need to be and where they can be happy and have a better grade and where you can be happy as a parent? That's the goal. But again, the first step is that completely free assessment. We have some of our best friends run Mathnasium. Our son taught there for a year. We love Mathnasium. Located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. Again, that assessment is zero cost, and you can stop by today to get one.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments 10 a.m. Eastern on a pair of trans athlete cases.
Both sides are saying that this is not fair for female athletes. It's not fair to have to compete alongside individuals who have a biological advantage. And for the plaintiffs here, they're going to be arguing that there's no fairness for them in wanting to compete in a sport that they clearly want to compete in.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff outside the high court. Iranians making phone calls abroad for the first time on Tuesday. Authorities cut communication during the Islamic Republic's crackdown on nationwide protests. President Trump visiting Michigan for the first time since last April.
The president tours a Ford factory in Dearborn, Michigan, where F-150 trucks are assembled, then addresses the Detroit Economic Club. Michigan Democratic Party Chair Curtis Hertel says Michiganders are feeling the effects of Trump's economy every day.
Fox's Chris Foster. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 32. Right now, we've got clear skies here in Pensacola. Cold start to our day. We will get our forecast in just a few minutes. That'll be with meteorologist Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. A planned development near downtown Pensacola did clear a key hurdle this month. The Hawkshaw Project received planning board approval on January 9th. It's now on track to submit construction plans and permit applications by mid-February. Developers are planning for a seven-story building with 225 units. They've got a deadline of this October to begin construction. The city's been working to get that property developed for decades now. Pensacola residents can meet the three finalists for police chief tonight at the Sanger Theater. That forum, public forum, will start at 5:30 p.m. The city narrowed down the field from 65 applicants down to three finalists, Brian Dugan, Eric Winstrom, and Eric Goss. Attendees won't be able to ask direct questions at the forum, but officials say they have taken themes from questions that were submitted in the public process ahead of time, and Mayor D.C. Reeves will make that final decision on who was picked. An RV caught on fire Monday in North Escambia County happened near McDavid on South Century Boulevard in North Escambia County. The RV was attached to a truck when it caught fire. Nobody was hurt, but it did cause some damage. One southbound lane was closed on 29 while crews worked the scene, and the cause of that fire is still under investigation. Florida's citrus industry is facing some lower harvest projections for the 2025-2026 season. Austin Price with the details.
That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The forecast estimates production at 12 million boxes of oranges, down from 12.2 million in the season prior, and 1.2 million boxes of grapefruit, down from 1.3 million. Specialty crops such as tangerines and tangelos expected to remain at last season's levels, while lemon production is projected to actually increase. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. Asbestos removal has started at the Old Baptist Hospital site. Plans to remove trees, though, have been put on hold. Staff told City Council last night they want to do their homework first.
They had tree removals in the request, but they pulled it. for right now so we can kind of get a full assessment so that Councilman Wiggins, myself, and economic development team, so we can walk the land to make sure that we do due diligence on the trees.
Associate City Administrator of Strategic Initiatives Cliff Collins. The campus has been vacant since Baptist moved over to the new Brent Lane location back in 2023. Demolition contractor North Star is handling the asbestos remediation work. Well, Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins jumping into Florida's Republican race for governor. The combat wounded Green Beret made his long expected announcement yesterday in Tallahassee, pitching himself as a problem solver with real world experience. Collins does say he respects the Trump-endorsed frontrunner, Byron Donalds, but also landed a little jab during his announcement.
I have deployed, fought, been shot, bled, and buried my friends in defense of our Constitution and our way of life. I am pretty sure that he has not done that.
Donalds' campaign fired back, labeling Collins and other candidates as anti-Trump rhinos. Despite that, Collins does insist he's focused on the real issues and not personal attacks. 735 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Oh, and let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 eastbound between Highway 29, 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing some minor delays. Also, 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile Road, and Highway 90 southbound headed into Pensacola, 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And right now, 32 degrees, a chilly start to our morning. Let's get a look at that forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at temperatures starting off very cold this morning, but getting around 59 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44. As you head into Wednesday, some cloudy skies with a high near 62 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. As you head into Thursday, going to be staying chilly and breezy through the day, sunny skies, high near 49. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 32 again. We've got clear skies here in Pensacola, 28 in Milton. And our next news at 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Consumer Price Index report due out today is expected to give a fuller picture of prices after disruptions caused by the prolonged U.S. government shutdown last fall. Dow Jones analysts predict the report will say prices rose 2.7% in the 12 months ending in December. Data drops in 10 minutes. Venezuela's stock market has not only shrugged off the capture of former President Nicolas Maduro by U.S. forces, but it also surged to a record high as investors bet that the battered economy could finally see a turnaround. The country's benchmark IBC has gained more than 130% since the U.S. operation on January 3rd. Nearly 15,000 nurses have gone on strike at some of New York City's top hospitals. The union is fighting for more nurses per shift, higher wages, and more security at hospitals. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 86, the NASDAQ up 62, the S&P 500 up 10. That's Your Money Now.
Calling all nonprofits. If you serve Escambia or Santa Rosa County and could benefit from a grant of $100,000, Impact 100 invites you to a Link and Learn workshop on January 27. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, and we've awarded over $18 million to organizations right here. To register for this free workshop and learn more about grants, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org. That's Impact100Pensacola.org.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us here in studio, we have Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great, great. We've been talking all day about you.
So it's good morning. Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah, it is. We're talking about the Real-Time Crime Center.
Okay.
Capabilities are amazing. Posted a video for it, shared on our Facebook page. You can see for yourself. We've been talking about it all morning. And this was your baby. Like, you brought this back from New York as an idea, right? Wasn't it you? Or was it one of your other deputies? I may have miscredited.
I brought it back. I'm not sure about it. It was not from New York. New York has something similar, yes. But there's a lot of other agencies that have and still have a real-time crime center. So I don't know if I'd say it was from New York.
Okay. I thought Andy had said that, but I may have misheard it. But basically, this gives you, in real time, as the name implies, the ability to look into any available camera, whether it's on a drone or, I presume, in the future, even on a body camera, although that capability is not there yet. But, you know, if a business is signed up, or if Lamar billboards, or if a school or a park or wherever there is an available, or from your little trailers, you know, that you pop up the post
right,
on.
Mobile trailers.
Yeah, you have the ability to look at a camera and see what's going on and relay that information in real time to your deputies who are responding, right?
That's correct. And it's always a work in progress, right? Mm-hmm. You've seen, and I guess you posted videos of what it looks like right now, but mm-hmm. we continue to upgrade and we continue to add to it. You saw, as I would imagine, like Pensacola Beach, for instance, you saw phase one. There's some cameras on the boardwalk area. But we're actively working on phase two, which is going to be more cameras on the Casino Beach parking lot area. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind people, these are public areas. These are on roadways. Mm-hmm. There are some businesses that have signed up. But, again, these are the cameras that are facing the roadway. We do not have access, real-time access to individuals' cameras. Like if Andrew McKay wants to be a part of this program, we don't have access to your cameras. If we have an incident in your area, we'll send you an email and you can look at your cameras yourself and decide whether you want to share that with us or not. So it is real time with regards to the cameras that we have on fixed sites and intersections and public areas and the beach, some in Montclair. We do have some cameras that we can see real time, but we don't see the residential area, cameras in real time.
And it's important to note that it's voluntary to participate in even getting that email. But correct. It used to be, you know, what you used to have to do is send a sheriff's deputy out and canvass the neighborhood and look in the eaves of all the houses and see who's got ring, you know, doorbell and see who's got cameras. Knock, knock. Hey, we're trying to solve a crime. Would it be possible for you to look at your camera? You know,
we used to go to a neighbor's house and with a notepad and say, have you seen anything suspicious?
Yeah.
And now that we, you know, then we started looking at the people that had the cameras because you could see in many cases that people have security cameras right. in their area or businesses. If you recall the Naomi Jones case, we went to a business in the area and we were able to see the car that the suspect took to the area to discard the body. And so that's, again, that was years ago. So we're even more capable than we were back then.
And it's interesting because, you know, over the years, as your capabilities develop and progress, I know you guys have always been cautious about telling the public some of this stuff because you don't want the criminals to know what you're able to do, just like you don't reveal sources and methods, and just like, you know, the CIA and the NSA don't tell everybody what they're capable because you don't want the bad guys to know what you can do. But I remember with Naomi Jones particularly, I was talking to Andy Hobbs about this, that, you know, I was asking him, well, what about this business over here and these cameras over here? And he's like, we're working on it. You know, which was and I always want to put mission first. I always want to protect your ability to do your job. But I remember at the time thinking, okay, yeah, you know, this is the point. We're using these resources and we're good at this.
Well, we've been pretty open with our capabilities in the real-time crime center. We've given tours, as you know, because our hope now is that it acts as a deterrent that people mm-hmm. will stop committing crimes, obviously, and stop being bad guys, and so we don't have to use the cameras. There is an element of secrecy during an active investigation. So we may not put pictures of suspects. We may not even identify the people that we have interest in until we have the need to.
Right.
But we're talking about the cameras, and I mean, again, it's no secret that we have cameras out there. We have nothing to hide. We have cameras right. in certain locations, and we want people to know that these are on roadways. And if you're driving a stolen car, that tag might ping to one of our deputies in the area. We might try to get you stopped.
And as you've mentioned, it's places where a deputy would be perfectly justified in standing with eyeballs or, you know, binoculars or whatever, doing surveillance because it's where law enforcement can go. It's a public area.
It's where anyone can go. It's where the media can go. Right. It's where anyone can go.
Right. I do want to ask, though, because we brought it up a couple times. You're a big believer in freedom. You're a big believer in individual rights, in the Constitution, in personal privacy. You love America. I mean, all the things, you know.
I do love America.
Yeah, you do. He really does. So how do you as an agency balance the value, high value of all of this technology against the concern that, well, eventually too much technology means less personal freedom, less individual rights, and the ability of a government in the wrong hands to take advantage of people and kind of take away what makes America special in that regard? How do you think about that?
Well, we certainly have no intention of restricting anyone's freedom. I don't see where cameras on the roadways, which again is not a right, it's a privilege to drive in a roadway, so you have to have a license, and you have to have your car registered. So there's no freedom being taken away in this scenario. I can simply tell you that these are in public areas, as you just mentioned. This is an area where everyone is free to go. You're free to go. Media is free to go. I'm free to go. And law enforcement officers free to patrol, right? And we have in-car cameras and we have body cameras. Almost everyone now has security cameras in their store or in their residence. So again, I don't see the, you know, someone claiming that their freedom was taken away when this is a privilege to be on the roadway in the first place.
And I think one of the things Andy told me when we were there is you only keep records for 30 days unless they are something that is important to a case. So everything gets deleted.
It automatically gets deleted, yeah. Right. It gets written over after 30 days.
Whether that's from a protecting people's privacy or from a, you know, how much data we'd have to be storing if we kept all the video for 2 years or something like that. So we'll come back to Sheriff Simmons in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, expect about a 12-minute delay. And also Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Simmons. Your phone's dinging. You going to get to stay with us for a minute?
Yeah, no. It was just reminding that the cameras are exempt from public records.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very good. Good note. Thank you. Robbery, armed robbery last night. Fairfield and W Street, the raceway.
Right. I just got the email a little bit ago about we had an armed robbery mail with a handgun, and asked for money, and then he fled in the area. So that's all we have right now. And it was at the raceway, as you just mentioned, on W and Fairfield. And so if anyone has information on who might have committed this crime, let us know. And I can imagine that our real-time crime center is actively looking to see if there's any cameras in that particular area. We obviously are going to use the whatever surveillance camera they may have had at the raceway itself and put together as big a piece as we can and see if we can catch the bad guy.
And this was actually in the store of the store was the robbery, or this
was from the store itself.
Okay. We also had several other incidents. You know, last week was the week before last was kind of quiet. So this week, you know, sort of making up for it, unfortunately. But let's see. We had a 48-year-old Quincy Hollins who was wanted for domestic violence, attempted homicide after a shooting outside the McDonald's on Mobile Highway. But you guys have arrested him or Santa Rosa. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he was located in Santa Rosa County. We certainly appreciate their assistance. We did arrest him. He fired a single shot into the car that his, ex-girlfriend was driving. Or current girlfriend, I'm assuming now it's ex, and then he fled the scene. But again, we were assisted by Santa Rosa County. We ended up putting him in jail, charged him with attempted homicide.
Huh. Okay. We also had a pretty significant SWAT operation. I think it was Wednesday in Ferry Pass. This is a weird story. There's a lot of weird stuff going on in this story.
Yeah, well, it started weird. We got a call that a guy was acting a bit erratic. and he was swinging a bat and damaging the stop sign. So clearly they're going to call law enforcement. When we get there, it's evident to us that he's going through some sort of a mental crisis of some sort. So we try to talk to him. We don't jump him or anything like that. And then ultimately he ends up getting, after threatening the deputy, that the first initial deputy that arrived there, ended up going, retreating back to his house. And then because we had aggravated assault with a bat on the deputy, and then obviously whatever he did to the stop sign. But
he used a bat on the deputy. Okay.
No, he had the bat in his hand, and he was threatening the deputy.
I see. Okay.
Right. He did not strike the deputy, no. But it is a felony. Aggravated assault is a felony. And so we got a warrant for him and then called a SWAT team out because, again, we needed to make contact with him. Ultimately, we were able to talk him into stepping outside, and then we were able to use a non-lethal round to subdue him and then take him to the county jail where he can be further evaluated.
And this was the one where he was shooting fireworks at you guys?
Yes. Yeah, he was shooting fireworks at us.
Like bottle rockets, Roman candles? I mean, that
I don't know
stuff.
What kind, but I'm assuming it was a bottle rocket type.
Okay.
Firework.
All right. All right. Well, I'm glad everybody's safe and apprehended.
And that's the important part, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a successful resolution for us is that an individual gets what they need. Sometimes mm-hmm. they need to go to jail. Sometimes they need services. Sometimes they need counseling. And they can get all of those things.
And I'm guessing that your deputies didn't wake up that morning thinking they were going to get Roman candle shot at them that afternoon or whatever. That was probably not on the bingo card for that day. But you never know. Things happen every day.
I tell people when they talk about becoming deputies or law enforcement officers, I tell you it's a first class ticket to the greatest show on earth. What you get? Because it's always something different, right?
Yeah.
You cannot possibly train for every scenario that we engage in.
If you want boring, go elsewhere. I've talked to some of the deputies, and sometimes they get recruited to other agencies, and then they regret it because nothing happening. They're just pulling people over and giving them tickets. Woohoo!
Well, it's if you want a career in law enforcement, in true law enforcement, you want to be able to help as much as you possibly can. Then go to a bigger city, go to a more active community, mm-hmm. and that's why I chose. A larger agency or middle-sized agency.
Yeah, yeah.
We respond at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office to nearly 300,000 calls a year.
That's one per person, by the way, because we've got 330,000 people in the county. That's an enormous number of call volume.
Well, there are some people that hog up
frequent
calls.
Yeah, multiple times. we also had a Henry Shoemaker, I think, was arrested after fatally stabbing a man during an argument in Moreno Court.
Yeah, this was a fight or a disturbance over wine. And I don't know exactly, I don't know if it was who drank the wine, whose wine it was initially or what happened, but it started with a fight over wine and ended up in a stabbing. Unfortunately, the victim passed away, and we ended up charging Mr. Shoemaker with homicide. Mm.
And again, solve the crime and have him arrested. So that's good. Terrible incident, though. You also had, this is just kind of a weird one, and it's more notable because the person who got arrested is full of face tats, funny-looking guy, but he was riding in the back seat when his friend was driving with the high beams on. That got him pulled over, and then what happened?
Well, you can't, if you got your high beams on, either they're incorrectly positioned or they're on, mm-hmm. And that can affect an individual driving in the opposite direction, driving towards that car. So our deputy stopped the car, and then we had a canine search alerted. And then ultimately we end up finding where he was sitting, where he was positioned, a bag that contained drugs, methamphetamines, and a gun, and ended up putting him in jail.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I didn't see the picture of him.
Oh, it's something. It's something. I don't know what else to tell you. And also, I think that's kind of all the incidents, big, major incidents. But I did want to note, actually, John Pickens is the one who picked up on this, that you have a brand new piece of jewelry.
Well, jewelry, yeah.
I mean, it's an adornment.
Well, yeah. We have, as 2026 is the 250th birthday of the United States. You mentioned I live in my country. I do love my country. And so we have basically purchased for the deputies. The deputies can buy them themselves, but we purchased them.
Made them available.
Made them available for the deputies. And it is and to commemorate 250 years. It's got the two flags on it, the original flag of the United States and the current flag of the United States. And you'll see those Probably on some of the deputies that choose to purchase those. This is not they weren't purchased with general fund dollars, but they do deputies do have an opportunity to purchase them. If they purchase them, they can wear them for this year.
And I'm looking at it here. It's a flag on both sides, U.S. flag on both sides. It's the star with the Escambia County logo in Florida in the middle. It's a very nice badge. Hey, John, turn his turn our mics off for just a second here.
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
But you can purchase, if you're a deputy, the 250.
I just do need to make sure that people understand the foundation purchased them. Escambia County Sheriff Foundation purchased them, and then they are offering them to the deputies. That they already ordered them, actually, at cost. So no one's making money off of this. It is just basically our way of saying we appreciate 200 years of being the greatest country this world has ever known. And this is our way of kind of displaying that. So, yeah, you can see we'll probably put a post
out
today. They're
very – I mean, I'm telling you, people are going to notice. They're very cool.
Again, it's got the old John flag, wants the new flag. It's got the little Minuteman in it. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Can a civilian buy them?
We're offering them to our deputies.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of saying
employees.
No. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Again, at cost, no general fund dollars. Thank you to the foundation
for coming up. I guarantee you John
with.
Wants one. John is going to sneak up in somebody's locker at the gym. He's going to go rifling through somebody's guy. He's going to try to. John, am I giving away too many of your tactics already?
Yes, stop.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
Sheriff Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for, I said it, and I was dead serious about it. You love the country, you love this area, you love Pensacola, Escambia County, the people here serving them, and, it's kind of weird. You know, people really... Andy Hobbs is bragging about you a lot, but everybody that I know has the same attitude. You know, they're just very, very grateful that you're the sheriff. So thank you for what you do.
I love my country, and I love my county, and I'm certainly proud to be the sheriff of Escambia County.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Seeing those delays still, about a 7-minute delay. And also Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
He who is valiant and pure of spirit may find the Holy Grail in the castle of...
Ah.
7:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Trump administration keeping a close eye on Iran as anti-regime protests continue there in the streets. A bulletin from the State Department is urging U.S. citizens to leave Iran if they're there. Prepare for communication blackouts, avoid demonstrations, and stock up on essentials. And reports are that the president is reviewing military options if the death toll continues to climb among protesters. There is a Georgia prison on lockdown while a deadly riot is being investigated. The Georgia Department of Corrections said on Monday that fights that broke out the day before inside of their Washington State prison were gang-related. Three inmates were killed, 13 inmates and a guard were treated for injuries.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. A little earlier in the show at 6:40, I did some analysis of the Zoran Mondani in inauguration speech. Very interesting stuff. We're going to continue with that analysis coming up next after the break, talking about the kind of the highlight clips you might have heard a lot of. But there was a lot of other stuff in this speech that was very interesting, very controversial. You should pay attention to this because there are a lot of people who would like to elect a guy like him.